Welcome back. We are now going to jump into our case tonight that we have, which is the United States versus Martha Stewart. Back in the mid-2000s, this was an enormous case. This was made all kinds of national news because Martha Stewart was in a very high-profile celebrity. She was making millions of dollars on all kinds of endorsement deals with all of her businesses that she had. Martha Stewart was and still is today, a major celebrity. She started out her career, as you can see, she's a very attractive woman. She started out her career as a model in the 1960s. Was very well known and very glamorous lady, very attractive and intelligent. She went on to become and kind of reinvented herself several times and became known as kind of the home economics guru of the United States. And she started everything from fashion lines to home draperies and tablecloths and cutlery services, all kinds of things that you might want to have in your home. And it started several successful businesses. She was appearing regularly on television, teaching people cooking and home design, you know, how to make little doilies and all kinds of stuff that immensely popular, very, very gifted, very talented woman. And she had started a company known as I Am Clone, which did all kinds of different things that related to her talents and which was amazingly successful. And she had always had somewhat of a reputation of collecting young men, and not boys, but she typically would date people who were much younger than herself. She was featured in many news articles as what they call a cougar, which is an older lady who dates younger gentlemen. And she's very attractive, and you can imagine that as a wealthy woman and a powerful woman, a lot of younger men would be attracted to her. And she had that reputation. Well, one of the men who worked for her, who was a younger man, one day called her secretary and gave the secretary a tip that there was going to be very bad information regarding her company coming out. He was an insider. He knew about this. And he said to the secretary, this information is going to cause, when it becomes public, is going to cause your stock to plummet. And you may want to take action accordingly. So Martha Stewart, even though later the person who was reported to have told her this information, this Peter Bankovic, denied saying what the federal prosecutor said, that she sold a whole bunch of stock. And yes, the information did become public, and yes, the stock plummeted. And as a result of that, she avoided losing millions of dollars because she had already sold the stock that had then gone on the plummet. Well, the Justice Department got wind of all of this and started a major investigation on her for insider trading. Because remember, it's not just the good news information to be able to make a lot of money. It's also bad news information if you act on that to avoid an enormous loss. And she was a very wealthy woman and avoided losing a lot of money by dumping a lot of stock before this information became public. Now, repeatedly, this Peter Bankovic has said, I didn't say what they're saying I said. But Martha Stewart's secretary, and there was no direct evidence that Martha Stewart ever got this information, which is kind of sketchy when you get convicted on this, but her secretary clearly wrote down on a memo, which was recorded and seized by the Justice Department, that Peter Bankovic called, and her secretary wrote down that the stock, which is being requested to be traded, is going to fall, and that she ought to sell it right away. And the secretary wrote this all down and memorized it, memorialized it on in writing, which the Justice Department got the phone message. And immediately after the phone message, Martha Stewart took action and sold the stock. Now, did the secretary know that she gave the message to Martha Stewart? No. Bankovic said he never said any such thing, and that the secretary was pressed by the Justice Department because the Justice Department wanted to get a high-profile conviction at the time. And as a result of that, that the secretary made it up. That's what Bankovic always did, contended. Martha Stewart never said anything about this other than protesting her innocence. Well, a trial took place in the Southern District of New York in Manhattan, where federal prosecutors produced this note, demonstrated that the note came into Martha's secretary right before the stock sale, that Martha sold the stock, that she avoided millions of dollars in losses as a result of this, and the jury convicted her. And she took her case all the way up to what is known as the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the mid-level court of the United States, and said, I'm innocent. This verdict ought to be overturned. And Peter Bankovic was also convicted of this because he's the one that gave her the information, and that's also a crime. And he said, I never said this, and I ought to have my conviction overturned. Well, the Federal Appeals Court took a look at all this and reviewed the entire documentation of the trial. All the people who testified, because it was more than just this note. Different parties came in and testified that Martha was very concerned about the loss of the money in the stock, and she had communicated that to many people and before she sold it. And the jury found all that information valuable, and they convicted. And the court said as follows, that none of the numerous grounds upon which defendants challenge their convictions provide a basis to disturb the jury's verdict. Stewart and Bankovic both argue that the appeals court must reverse the convictions, order a new trial, remand is for an evidentiary hearing, because their trial was tainted by Sixth Amendment violations, prosecutorial misconduct. And I can say that the prosecutor for the Southern District of New York at the time was a very aggressive prosecutor who loved to go after high-profile individuals, and in a lot of instances was accused, whether he did it or not, I don't know, of cutting corners. And that's what the two defendants in this case, Martha Stewart as well as Peter Bankovic, were saying that it was erroneous influence in the juries. The prosecutor would hold a press conference all the time. He would slam the heck out of the accused in the press. She was vilified quite substantially. And this is somebody who had a reputation as being Mrs. Mom, even though she wasn't married, for being the homemaker of the year and, you know, person who would make Christmas cookies on Good Morning America and, all the little doilies and all the things that she would do. Her businesses were very wholesome. They were things that everybody would use. They were family-based. And she says, I would never do these things. And she was someone who, through her celebrity, America really liked. She was viewed as a very sweet, nice person. And even to this day, that's her persona, that everybody who knows her pretty much loves her. So this conviction was upheld by the Federal Court of Appeals. And the principal linchpin on this was the documentary evidence of the note. And I can tell you, as a former trial lawyer, testimonial evidence, that means people who offer testimony under oath, can change all over the place. And it frequently does. People's memories change. They get influenced by what somebody else says. They misremember. They don't do it intentionally. They're under oath and they try and tell the truth. But when people turn around and say that testimonial evidence is unreliable, to a certain extent, there's a nugget of truth in that, because not everyone has a New York City detective's memory for details and for exactness. Some people do, and some people make magnificent witnesses. But upon cross-examination, people get nervous, they get scared. I don't know. I don't really remember that. Try to remember something that you did 4 years ago. It's a challenge. But when you have documentation, when you have records that get brought in, and in this case, there was that phone message right before the sale of the stock, and it was recorded, and it was in the custody of the Justice Department. And as such, that's what the jury really hung their hat on. And that phone message ended up convicting Martha Stewart, who's really a darling of America, and who actually, after she served her sentence, she served her time in the federal prison, she came back out and America still loves her. She's a convicted felon, but America treats her like she's their darling. And there's merit to that, because she is a good person. And did she do something wrong? Yes, she did. She broke the law and she paid the price for that. But this shows you that insider trading can occur at the highest level. She was the person who founded all these businesses and ended up getting convicted and serving years in prison as a result of the insider trading. We're on to our lectures next week. And we hope to see you then. Thanks so much.